Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the host of this fine program. My co-host, David Ramil, is again not here. He's drinking pina coladas on some sort of beach somewhere or something. He didn't tell me where he's vacationing. I have no idea where he went. I'm assuming he's on vacation. I'm assuming he's going to be back at some point. Who knows? But all I know is he's not here. It's just me. But we got the whole recap for you of the Miami Heat's loss to the Charlotte Hornets on Thursday night. The Hornets beat the Heat 96-88. But it's preseason. The loss doesn't mean a whole lot. Miami was without a lot of its players. Goran Dragic didn't play. Justice Winslow didn't play. Josh Richardson and Josh McRoberts were both out again. James Johnson was out dealing with a foot injury, I guess you can call it. Really just kind of aggravated his foot. I'm sure he would have probably played if it was a regular season game, but not for a preseason game. Tyler Johnson also took some rest. Luke Babbitt was again out. Udonis Haslam didn't play. Hassan Whiteside played in the first half, but didn't play at all in the second half. So it was a big rest night for the Heat, while Charlotte came out and really used it as a dress rehearsal for their regular season. So they played their starters way up until the very end. I mean, Kemba Walker and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Nick Batum were in there late into the fourth quarter at the very end of the game. And so for it to be as close as it was impressive in its own right. But again, the final score doesn't really matter as much as what we were able to see from the individual players and how they played together on the court, especially without so many of the regular rotation guys. This was really a night for those bubble guys. Briante Weber got the start. Ronnie Magruder, who we'll talk about a lot more later, who had a fantastic game. He got a lot of minutes. He got 36 minutes. I mean, Willie Reed played a lot of minutes. We got our first look at Beno Udrih. We're going to talk about all that. But let's first talk about how the Heat played without Goran Dragic. Because Goran Dragic has been the subject of some trade rumors recently. The Sun Sentinel reported this morning that Eric Spoelstra actually went up to Dragic today before the game and said, look, these trade rumors aren't true, which is rare for an NBA front office or a head coach to really validate trade rumors. There's so many of them out there right now. But I guess this one had enough legs, and there was enough talk around a Goran Dragic trade that Spoelstra clearly felt the need to approach Goran Dragic about this. And he did that. And he said, look, these rumors aren't true. We're not looking to trade you. You're fine. And Goran Dragic was really appreciative of that. And it makes sense for, it doesn't make sense all the time for a head coach or a front office to go to a player and either dismiss or validate a trade rumor. Because when they don't do it, right, now you're saying, okay, well, what's going on? This might be real. But in this case, it did make sense just because we've heard so much of Dragic really taking the reins of the offense that this was his year. And he really feels like he's comfortable in Miami. He uses the words that he feels at home pretty often. And that's huge. And for these trade rumors to come around, you don't want anything to just get in the way of the momentum that Goran Dragic is already carrying into the regular season. And so that was smart by Spoelstra to do that. That said, Dragic didn't play tonight. He got the night off for rest. And the Heat struggled without Goran Dragic a lot. This was the fewest points and the lowest shooting percentage that they've had this preseason. They shot just 36% from the field tonight. So really the team was just disorganized. I mean, they lost track of the 24-second shot clock a few different times. They just looked out of sorts. They didn't really know how to initiate offense. They were disorganized getting into sets, if there were even any sets at all. Nobody really did a great job creating shots for other. It didn't help that Dion Waiters struggled tonight as far as getting to the rim and finding players. But again, you know, he wasn't playing with the players that he's used to been playing with this whole preseason. So Really just the whole offense was out of sorts. Nobody was able to get Hassan Whiteside involved early. Whiteside had just 4 points on 1 of 6 field goals in 15 minutes. And so you could look at Whiteside and look, hey, you missed one of your six, you only made one of those six shots, but none of those shots were easy shots for him. I mean, Whiteside thrives on rolling to the rim and getting easy lobs or dunks in pick and roll situations, and nobody was able to feed him the ball in situations where it was going to be easy for him. He really had to try to create some of his own looks. And we know when Whiteside tries to create his own shot, it doesn't always work out. He tends to bang into too many bodies and force up bad shots. So nobody was able to get him involved. And a lot of that is something that Dragic has been doing this whole preseason. So without Dragic, this team was disorganized. And for Heat fans who want Dragic traded, because of all this talk that's happened, some Heat fans say, okay, I want Dragic traded, let's tank this season. This is what you're going to get if the Heat trade Dragic. I don't care what, you're not going to get a point guard the caliber of Dragic. I mean, if the Kings trade worked out, you're getting Darren Collison back, who's a backup point guard at best in this league and has a myriad of off-the-court issues that you don't even want to deal with. So unless they get some starter caliber point guard in return, which doesn't seem likely if they trade Dragic in the first place, then this is what you're going to get. Yeah, Josh Richardson didn't play. Yes, Tyler Johnson didn't play. Yes, Deion Waiters had a bad game. But those are all secondary guys, secondary facilitators. You need somebody who can come in and start. And this is what we talk about when we talk about Goran Dragic setting the tone of the game and playing with pace. That's not just coach speak. That's not just, you know, this blogger, podcaster speaking nonsense. That's real. That's a real thing. Being able to set a tone, get into offensive sets, get guys involved early. I mean, that's all very real. And if you don't believe that, just watch this game and you'll see it right away. Nobody got involved early. There was no consistency early. And the Heat went down by 20 points in the second quarter. Yeah, and they were able to come back into the game and they were down by a point in the fourth quarter, but it took them that long to get back into the game. I mean, if you have Dragic in there, you know, presumably you have somebody that can get onto the court at the tip and establish some sort of tone and establish some sort of chemistry right away, which they didn't have. So for Heat fans that want Dragic traded, that's what you're getting. And I understand if you say, okay, no, we want to tank, so that's good. We want to be disorganized. We want to be out of sorts. But at that point, that's the sort of tanking that gets in the way of developing your young players. Because now all of a sudden, Winslow and Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson, they don't have Goran Dragic to circle around. They don't have a guy to feed them the ball and get them easy looks and help develop. And all of a sudden, they're all playing out of position. You're asking Winslow to maybe handle the ball more than you wanted him to. You're asking Tyler Johnson to be maybe a starting point guard or Josh Richardson to be a starting point guard. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting these guys out of position, so it's not really developing them in the way you want to develop them. So I look at Dragic as important, number one, in winning, and number two, in helping all these young guys develop. The Heat aren't going to be very good this year. They're not going to go to the playoffs. Not with this team. So there's a good chance they're already going to pick in the lottery. Do you really want to tank and just help your odds of getting number one overall pick and risk the development of these young guys? It doesn't make sense. But overall, you know, Dragic is on this team. Spoelstra has already told him that he's not going to get traded, that those rumors were false. So this is the team, and now we really got a chance to really see Goran Dragic's value when he's playing. You know, they say you don't know how much you miss somebody until they're gone. That was the case with Goran Dragic. Not to overreact too much on a preseason game, because again, it's only preseason, but it did give us a good look at what this team looks like without its true lead point guard in control of things. All right, I want to talk about the power forward belt that we're going to give away, our spotlight player, and just a few more notes on the game. Before I get to that, a quick break just to give a shout out to the Locked On Podcast Network. It's the best time of year for sports. Basketball season's right around the corner. We're already into the football season. We're, what, a quarter away through? A little bit more than a quarter way through of football season? I mean, the Locked On Podcast Network couldn't have come at a better time. We have almost every NBA team covered, almost every NFL team covered. It's the fastest growing podcast network in the world, on planet Earth. And Locked On Heat is a proud part of that, and there's also a bunch of other great shows that you should be listening to. If you're a fantasy basketball player, Locked On Fantasy Basketball with our guy Josh Lloyd does a terrific, amazing job over there. Really gives you an edge in your fantasy basketball league. Locked On NBA, hosted by our boss, David Locke, who routinely gets NBA coaches and scouts and front office types and writers and national writers and things like that on the program. It's very insightful. It's a great show. David does a great job with that. And for you football fans, the Miami Dolphins have a show. It's called Locked On Dolphins. There's Locked On Fantasy Football. There's Locked On NFL. I mean, just so much great content. I mean, if you're a fan of any team, this is the network for you. Daily podcasts covering your favorite team. Make us a part of your daily commute. Make us a part of your daily routine. That's all we want. So go ahead, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. That's where you can find Locked On Heat or really any of these great shows. So make sure that you're keeping in touch with the Locked On Podcast Network. You want to be connected to your team. That's the best way to do it. Okay, so power forward belt. Let's do it. Again, Derek Williams, kind of by default, but he had a good game. James Johnson, Luke Babbitt, they didn't play today. So Derek Williams is the starter by default, but he's been starting. It looks like he's locked up the starting four-spot job as of now. He finished with 13 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3-point range, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Again, he was able to grab rebounds, take the ball down the court, space the ball floor a little bit, keep the ball moving. He's not one of these guys that's jumping off the page, but he's making a positive impact. What I always say about him, he's not a guy that's taking anything off the table. Where James Johnson, he's taking away outside shooting. He's not a great outside shooter. He's very limited. His offense is limited to basically around the rim. Luke Babbitt, on the flip side, great outside shooter, limited defensively. Derek Williams doesn't do anything great, but he doesn't do anything. There's no glaring weakness for him. He's a versatile guy, somebody that Eric Spoelstra calls a Swiss Army knife. And that, to me, is why he's been getting these starts. Not to say he's better than any of these guys, but he just fits in with that starting group. You let Winslow defend. You let Whiteside defend, block shots, and score at the rim. You know, you let Dragic facilitate the offense. You let Deion Waiters or Josh Richardson, whoever's going to be starting at two, you know, score points, whether it's Josh Richardson scoring from three, Deion Waiters being a secondary ball handler and getting guys involved and getting to the rim. You let them do, what they're great at. Derek Williams is able to just come in, play his game, get guys involved, keep the ball moving. Just don't take anything off the table, right? Don't negatively impact the team. Even if he's not necessarily wowing anybody with a huge positive impact, he's not negatively impacting anything. So Derek Williams, power forward belt, still rests with you, buddy. All right, moving on to the spotlight player. Who else could it possibly be? It's Rodney Magruder. 19 points on 7 of 15 shooting, 4 of 9 from 3-point range, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, all in 36 minutes. The best game by far for Rodney Magruder this preseason. Before we get into the specifics of this game, Magruder has been coming along this entire preseason. He's really making a case to earn a spot on this roster now. Eric Spoelstra said that Rodney Magruder is competing for the 15th spot on this roster. So these aren't just empty stats. These aren't just empty performances where Rodney Magruder is just going to go back to the Sioux Falls Sky Force and just keep playing for that team. He's got a real opportunity here to make the Heat roster. Do not discount Rodney Magruder being on this 15-man roster coming to the regular season. This game, he showed off a good rhythm on his jumper, especially from three-point range. Again, 4 of 9. He gets his feet set early. You know, he doesn't have a super quick release, but it's quick enough. It's not like Justice Winslow's where the ball dips a little too far. You know, he gets the ball, gets his feet set quickly underneath him, and gets the shot up. The smooth three-point shot, smooth jumper. He can do it with a guy in his face. So there's a lot of good there. He has a knack for being in the right place at the right time. He's getting steals, saving loose balls, diving into the stands to save, you know, balls going out of bounds. Those are the sort of in-between things that Eric Spoelstra loves. It's what has led Eric Spoelstra to compare Rodney Magruder to Justice Winslow. I compare Rodney Magruder to a bigger Tyler Johnson. All these guys who just do these in-between things, these hustle plays, like we like to call them, Magruder's doing that. He fits that Heat mold in that way. He's got a knack for getting open along the perimeter. He made 4 three-pointers in the game, like I said. He also had an awesome dunk in the fourth quarter. So, you know, he shows a knack for getting to the basket, for cutting to the basket. Those are all the positives of Rodney Magruder. I'm really, really high on Rodney Magruder. There are a few cons that I noticed specifically in this game. He's got this weird habit of dribbling to, like, the mid-range area and then immediately kicking it out, not necessarily looking to get the ball closer to the rim. It's not necessarily an inside-out game when Magruder is doing that. It's more of like a kind of a medium-out game, you know, a mid-range to out game, which doesn't really do anything as far as spacing because it's a much shorter distance for defenders to cover when you're going from Magruder, passing it from 18 feet to maybe 22 feet away. So that was something that kind that was a concern for me this game. He did it a handful of times. I counted my unofficial count anywhere 4, 5, 6 times he did this, I noticed. Again, just kind of dribbling the ball to the free throw line almost, and then just putting his head down and then looking over his shoulder for somebody to get it out to. Not really looking to get the ball closer to the rim or get his own shot. He's really almost like he's rushed or that he's nervous dribbling the ball in the traffic. He did lose the ball going and dribbling around traffic a couple different times, specifically along the baseline when he would get the ball. So I do worry about his ability to dribble in traffic, create his own shot in a way that Tyler Johnson can, and we've seen Justice Winslow dribble in traffic, and he's confident doing that, getting to the rim. I'm not sure Magruder can do those things, but again, very confident from three-point range. A very good cutter to the rim. A really earnest defender. A guy that does a lot of little things. 19 points in 36 minutes. I mean, that, he loaded up the box score in a lot of different areas. He's making a case. At this point, I'd honestly take Roddy Magruder over Briante Weber. If there's one spot to fight for, and it's really between Magruder, Weber, and Beno Udrih, I'm taking Magruder right now because it's clear that this team doesn't really need a true backup point guard. You know, Goran Dragic is playing. As long as he's playing, they have their starting point guard. And after that, it's really a rotation of Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters. It's going to be Josh Richardson, Wayne Ellington even. There's enough guards right now on the roster where they don't need a true backup point guard. They're not really utilizing a true backup point guard in rotation. And if they're not utilizing a true point guard as a backup, then why carry one on the roster just to have one when you have a guy who's really blowing things up in Roddy Magruder and really showing out as the best player of those three right now? And who can do the most different things right now for you, it makes a lot more sense for me to go with Magruder. When we talk about the risk of letting Briante walk, he didn't perform well. I've not necessarily been that impressed with him. I don't think that he has the instincts of a point guard that can get the ball to guys. He looks a little disorganized. I think that he's still not caught up to the speed of the game. I'm just not sure that he's... I don't know. I'm not saying that he can't do it, but I haven't seen any evidence to say that he can be a starting point guard. And for Briante Weber, who's 6'1", who's light, who doesn't have a great outside jumper, he really needs to, you know, when you don't have an outside jumper, you really need to thrive in all of the other areas. And right now he doesn't. You know, he's a very good defender. He makes hustle plays. If he was a little bit taller, he's probably a shooting guard. If he's even taller than that, I could see him being Andre Roberson of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I could see he's like that, but he's a little small, and for his size, he can only play one position, and he doesn't do that thing that you have to do at that position necessarily very well. And I don't want to pile on Weber, but if it's a decision right now, I'm taking Magruder. And I still think Weber needs more seasoning. He's a guy to me who is 1 or 2 years away from really being able to make an impact in an NBA game, where Magruder can make an impact right now. All right, just some other notes before we wrap this thing up. Beno Udrih did play, played 8 minutes, had 2 points and 2 assists. Briante Weber, who I was just talking about, 40 minutes, played 40 minutes, only shot 1 for 8, finished with 2 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. But again, 40 minutes and those numbers don't exactly leap off the page, and he struggled too much in my opinion. Hassan Whiteside finished with 0 assists again, but did have a nice pass to Wayne Ellington for a wide open 3-pointer that Ellington unfortunately missed, a rare occurrence for Wayne Ellington, but it was a really nice assist by him. He had his back to the basket, ball in the post, found Weber getting open along the three-point line and got it open to him. It's exactly what we want to see from Whiteside. That's exactly what the Heat need from him. And it was a very reassuring moment there. It was early in the game. Again, Whiteside didn't play in the second half. Willie Reed did play in the second half, had a strong showing, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks in 23 minutes. And in the third quarter, showed off a strong baseline move to the basket where he dribbled it, took it along the baseline, which was to his left, and finished at the rim. A really good move, strong move by Willie Reed. Would love to see more of that. We also got our first look at Luis Montero, a 6'7", 200-pound wing player, shooting guard, small forward type. The Portland Trail Blazers released him a few days ago on October 15th. He signed a couple of days ago with the Heat. He had 5 points in his first 3 minutes, finished with 6 points. Was really impressed by what I saw from him. Has a lot of confidence, came in and just his first play, got the ball, shot a contested three-pointer. Was not a good shot, but hey, I like the confidence. And, had a positive impact overall, mostly in garbage time in the fourth quarter. But I like Luis Montero when he was playing for Portland. Portland's one of my league pass teams, a team that's, for the last couple of years, a team I've been watching pretty closely. Liked Luis Montero, didn't get a lot of playing time, but was one of those fringe guys on Portland's roster last season. So I liked when the Heat signed him. I'm looking forward to see what he's got against the 76ers, assuming he plays a little bit more. Probably not making this team, but would love to see him on the Skyforce. Speaking of the Skyforce, Okero White finished with 13 points and 12 rebounds. Made just one of his 6 three-point field goals, but he was aggressive getting his shot. I like that. I like his... He does have the ability to shoot the three-pointer. He got his points, 13 points, got his rebounds, 12 rebounds, and definitely looks like a guy who could thrive for the Skyforce. Again, not making this team, but looks like a guy who can really play well for the Skyforce, maybe get a job somewhere else if somebody's looking for an athletic forward type. All right, the Heat are now 4-3 in the preseason. Their final game is against the 76ers tomorrow night. We're not gonna have a podcast recapping that game because we're off until Monday morning, but we'll be back then with a complete wrap-up and reaction to the preseason. So that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, leave us your comments, or inquire about advertising. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me. We'll catch you next time.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.